Well, it's nice to be with you again, and we're going to proceed a little bit more, considering what we find in Hebrews chapter 11. Some of this will be review, of course, and some of it, I hope, will be new and fresh and good for all of us. Once again, thank you for bearing with me by Zoom. I do count it a blessing that we're able to communicate in this way, but trust that you enjoy it also. So let me just start off by saying that faith is not a standalone thing. Just as some may claim that it's an abstract mindset, I believe rather faith is in our God. The Lord gives whatever God-inspired confidence we have substance. I was reminded just today, noticing a story about Mendelssohn, the great composer, and he once visited the cathedral at Freiburg, and having heard the great organ, he went into the organ loft and he asked permission to play it. Not being recognized, the old organist, who was very jealous for his own organ and the use that was made of it, he denied him. But after a while, he did relent and stood there after Mendelssohn took over the keyboard, and he began to play the colossal thunder of the cathedral organ. And the organist, the regular organist, stood there in delight and ecstasy for a few moments. And finally, he asked, "Who are you? What is your name?" And the player said, "It's Mendelssohn." And here is what the old organist responded with. He said, "And can it be that I nearly refused to let Mendelssohn touch this organ?" And of course, there's a practical side to that in my mind, at least. And that is that oftentimes as Christians, we hesitate to let God have control of our lives, and we would hold him at a distance. But what we're talking about in Hebrews 11 are people who allow God to have his way, and we want to consider some of that. So briefly in review from verse 11 to verse 23, now let's recall ways that faith manifests itself. In verse 11, faith produces power. That's in the case of Sarah. And it wasn't only miraculous power, but it was life-giving power. And it was very precious to them and to us in retrospect now. In verse 13, we learned that faith has perception, speaking of the patriarchs. And I commented about those three words that is spoken about them, that they died in faith. That is, they died the way they lived. And faith had sustained them all the days of their life. So these things gave witness to their faith, and faith is still the substance. It's the reality of things that are hoped for. So again, in review, we have the patriarchs, and we have Sarah, and we have Abraham. And when it comes to Abraham, we noted how he passed the test, and faith gave up everything. And yet, the man of faith lost nothing. In verses 20 to 21, we have how faith provides a legacy. And we're reminded of Isaac and Jacob, who dwelt in tents. And as such, they provided us with a legacy for God's people who were satisfied to dwell in a place like that under circumstances of that sort, basically as pilgrims still. And what's the believer's most priceless legacy? I look at folks and I see some who have lived years of godly choices and quiet confidence, and they were the priceless things, the finest things they left behind for our legacy today. In verse 22, we have how faith participates. That is, as Joseph anticipates the, the benefit, the blessing of others, even though his own day was done. He was anticipating the day when God's people would go to that land that had been promised. And then in verse 23, how faith prevails. And we see that through Moses' parents remove their fear and they accept the consequences that could have been. And it would seem that faith ought to be on the mind of all of us these days. I believe that God is looking for this amongst his people, even in the midst of these COVID days. God has a deep and abiding interest in the faith of his own. And God is most interested in seeing where it is that our hopes lie. This faith is not talking about the body of truth that we've been given, and that's a precious thing. But this faith is about our own trust in God that is based on what God has imparted. Now, let's just think about what we'll read now in verses 24 down to verse 31 of Hebrews 11. It says there that by faith Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she received the spies with peace. So let's just look at what we find now in the life of Moses. There are many things that we can witness here that spoke of his faith, but basically, I want you to notice that faith is not dissuaded. It is not turned aside by earthly or worldly incentives. He recognizes the true value of what material is and the advantages of power and place may have been set before him. But here's a man who, when he was come to years, that is, that's when maturity brings responsibility. Maybe it took him a while, but after all, he spent 40 years there. It comes to full conviction at last. The time passed, says the scripture in 1 Peter 4. The time passed suffices us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles. And what he was offered in Egypt was appealing according to every worldly standard. And it's pretty hard to resist some of those things even to this very day. Joseph spoke about the splendor of Egypt in Genesis 45. And we love our comforts, don't we? I wish you folks were a little more comfort as far as the temperature is concerned. But we love our comforts. A comfort zone to the many seems to just be everything someone wants today. It trumps everything. It's most important to so many in our world. And at times that self-same spirit touches down in our lives as well. Never mind, even when it comes to material things, we each crave significance and respect. And we have a tendency to set our own value, the value we place on ourselves, due to the position or the place that we found in life. But is this what I really want? You notice the word son in connection with Moses. He could have been Pharaoh of all the world. What a place of privilege to occupy. And maybe we ask, well, couldn't he have more influence and done more good if he had allowed himself to become a Pharaoh? I suppose it all comes down to which kingdom is important to me. Faith is not turned aside by earthly incentives. And then I want you to notice in verse 25, in connection with Moses again, how faith comes down to choices. And in this case, it was choices about the pleasures of sin. Enjoyment. Where do we find it? He had this right in his very hand, but we're reminded that it was the pleasures of sin for a season, only for a while, compared to eternity. In the words of the Lord Jesus, what shall a man be advantaged if he were to gain the whole world and lose his own life? You notice how he chose to suffer affliction, the idea of ill treatment, to share adversity. And some like him even today, maybe not so much in this favorite land, but in other lands, they would say, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Faith comes down to choices. Notice it says he esteemed the reproach of Christ. That is, he put Christ in the first place. And it says accounting, that's a different value system. And it speaks about reproach. How could reproach ever look attractive? How could it ever be the choice of the sensible? And the only answer I can think of tonight is this: for the cause of God, faith comes down to a choice that matters. Greater, stronger, larger, if we get a glimpse of it, how could even the greatest things of earth ever eclipse the ultimate glory that God has prepared for those that love him? My enemies may oppose ever so strongly, but I believe that God rules. He's the one who reigns over all. Is the cause of Christ of vital importance to me today? The treasures of Egypt, of course, have been much talked about. They've been collected and hoarded and coveted and displayed. But Moses made his choice, as faith does. He had respect, it says. He fixed his eye on one thing. That is, he looked away from everything else to be intently, attentively, steadfastly fixed on this. He knew there was a reward. He believed that there was a recompense for God's people who owned him as Lord. And thank God that glory lies before us. Think with me too about how faith has a higher gold standard. Again, in the case of Moses, we can see how he evaluated gold, the gold of Egypt, the riches there, by eternal standards. And he longs for something that is more precious than gold which perishes. And I have to ask myself, as I consider this thought very briefly tonight, What standard am I using for true gold? Then to notice how faith may cause us to walk away. Once again, in the case of Moses, we have him embracing a higher plan, seeing the invisible. It tells us of Moses, he forsook it. He forsook Egypt. He walked away from what the world held out to him. He was basically saying to them, that's all you've got? I want something more. Oh, may that kind of courage inspire me and you to cause us to walk away from the stuff that's only going to be for now, only going to be for here. After all, there's something more. Says he was not afraid. All the power and the glory of Egypt could not enthrall him compared to the promises of God. How do those promises shine in your thinking tonight? Ah, dear believer, there's something so precious in the promises of God. And he would not bow to the world's supposed claims. When it talks about the wrath of the king, we're reminded in the words of the Lord Jesus, fear not them which kill the body, but fear him in whose hand is ultimate power. It tells us he endured. And that reminds me that he was steadfast in his choice. When he walked away, he had set his course on God, who is unseen, but more real than any other thing that could ever have filled his view. Faith may cause us to walk away. And then again, in the case of Moses, he's quite the subject matter in this beautiful chapter. Faith brings us to rely on God alone. And we find out how he follows God's instructions for deliverance. It tells us, first of all, and it's interesting, the prominence this is given, he kept the Passover. Why? Because God had spoken. And the danger was very real. And blood, the blood sacrifice was the great answer. The lamb must be slain. And so today, in the gospel message, that gospel message ought to be precious to every one of our hearts as believers. And what a message it is for unbelievers. So today in the gospel, it is the sacrificial price of precious blood that was shed for us that alone provides the answer for our cleansing, for our forgiveness, and all the joy that God's salvation brings. I want you to see how God was on the move, and faith gives us the victory march, just as it did with Israel when they stepped out, when God led them. You notice how they went through the Red Sea. Only God provides such a miracle. I know people have mocked the fact of that crossing, and they've tried to explain it away, and quite frankly, their excuses all seem pretty weak. But oh, the glory in the story that God made a way for his people to escape from the cruel taskmaster. And there was victory for God's own, just as there is for you and I today. And we need to get the taste of it in our mouth. Even now, in anticipation, we must never, though, forget the awful loss of those who despise it. Because while God is so gracious in giving you and I as his people the victory, we must not forget that all around us there are those who seem so utterly blind and deaf to the voice that speaks from heaven. And they're missing out on the greatest of all blessings. And we get to enjoy it as faith gives us the victory march like it did to Israel long ago. Now, when we come to verse 30, we have the case of Joshua being brought before us, and faith brings down strongholds. And they witness seeming impossible obstacles taken out of the way. What a beautiful story it is to think that though they all walked united around the city, and though the repeated coming and going perhaps had caused some great consternation within, yet it came to a point where they all gave a great shout. And it wasn't the shout that brought it down, but God brought down the walls. Now, there have been lots of attempts to describe these formidable walls, but here it is. It says they fell down. That is, they assumed a prostrate position as if they bowed. And I'm reminded of a great truth that we're told of in our New Testament. Every knee shall bow. Thank God there's one that we serve and love. And someday, though we gladly bow ourselves now, we know that even those in every kind of place the scripture speaks of, whether in this world or in the nether world, they will bow. Notice they were compassed about. I've already mentioned this in part, of course, because they were all together. That's a wonderful thing amongst God's people. When you see this, engaged together, whether it's in worship, or whether it's in activities, whether it's in gospel outreach, whether it's sitting to hear the voice of God, they were together. In that day, as they sought a victory, and they might have questioned even the wisdom of the battle plan that they've been given. But nevertheless, faith brought down strongholds. Now, come with me just for a moment to the case of Rahab. In verse 31, faith links salvation and a legacy worth having. Did you know when you got saved all the things that you've been brought into? Well, she didn't either. But thank God, when salvation became hers, she inherited big things from God, as we know. And you know, faith believes God. Such simplicity. Just simple faith. She was moved with fear when she heard the stories. She was moved to protect those that had come into the city. And she trusted in the message they gave. Now, there's no doubt about her unfaithful and her defiling past. Her lifestyle till then was blatantly sinful. And I have to ask, as maybe you do, maybe you're thinking of someone who may not be all that different from a Rahab. Is there hope for such a one? Could I just ring it out? Yes. Absolutely yes. Chief of sinners, he receives. She believed And the evidence of her faith is brought to our attention. You see, faith links salvation and a legacy that's worth having. And there was never a day of regret in Rahab's life that she turned away from the legacy she might have had in Jericho and embraced the legacy of the people of God. And you, as you look back, and as I look back, I'm so thankful for that day way back in 1961, when as a sinner of 15 and a half years old, I trusted the Savior. And I found, and I've been finding, that there are more treasures associated with the legacy of Christ for me than I ever imagined were possible. Do I enjoy them all? Not yet. But I'm just trusting that the day will come when, why, it's all going to open up before me, and I'll stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. So, in review, faith is not turned aside by earthly incentives. Faith oftentimes comes down to choices. And faith has a higher gold standard than this world has ever known. Faith can cause us to walk away from what seems to be the things of, you know, advantage. And faith learns to rely on God alone. Just like the old organist handed over his keyboard to Mendelssohn, the great composer, as you and I learn to rely on God alone, we'll find out that the melody and the symphony that he provides is greater than anything we ever dreamed. Faith gives us the victory march. Oh, maybe some of us today are struggling. Maybe some of us are finding the days difficult. Some perhaps are discouraged. But the day of glory is coming, and it cannot be turned back. And then, too, to think that faith brings down strongholds. Maybe there's a stronghold that you're considering tonight. You think, will they ever yield? Will they ever bow to Christ? Well, we want them to bow in this life. But there's one thing we know. If they will not bend or bow now, they will in that day when the Lord Jesus receives the glory of it all. And then, too, faith imparts a legacy that's really worth having. And I'll close with these lines. Oh, blissful lack of wisdom. 'Tis blessed not to know. He holds me with his own right hand, and he will not let me go. He lulls my troubled soul to rest in him who loves me so. So on I go, not knowing I would not if I might. I'd rather walk in the dark with God than go alone in the light. I'd rather walk by faith with him than go alone by sight. Now, we're very thankful for all that God has allowed in these days, and trust that you will come to enjoy the fullness of it all as well.